We interview very influential people from all around the world, and now we've got another exciting guest. Please let me introduce you to Bev Baker. Bev, hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Now, you're one of those people that do so many things. Can you please tell the audience exactly what you're up to?
All right. So how I describe myself is as a mental health coach. Let's put it like that. I've trained as a psychotherapist and a hypnotherapist and have been trying to get my message up on social media for a moment. And anybody that's had anything to do with social media, putting their work up, they can share the pain. It's real. So I first started with YouTube pretty much in the lockdown, you know, so I wasn't getting any clients. They weren't going to come to my house, that's for sure. And I wasn't going to theirs. And so I thought, well, I'll get out there and I'll do YouTube. And that was pretty a harsh learning because I'm not too sure how other people go about putting up their wares, but I struggled with it. I wasn't used to the camera. I wasn't used to what people wanted, but I put it up there and tumbleweeds, nothing. You know, one follower now and again, it was quite soul destroying. So what happened was that I thought, let me just go on TikTok. I'm not one of these people that, okay, TikTok, let's go for it. I wish I was, you know, or Instagram, let's go for it. I wait and see how it's going, see how the movement lies. And then I went on TikTok. Tumbleweeds, one or two people here or there, they weren't liking my message. But something strange happened. It was like divine intervention, karma. I don't even know what to call it. But I was just putting it up. And at the same time as Will Smith and Chris Rock and all of that, and people were talking about is, what's her name, Jada Pinkett, a narcissist? What happened to Will? He's destroyed his career, blah, de blah. I happened to put up a video on narcissism and got 13,000 views overnight. And I said, what? Is that, that's, okay. I found my tribe, or my tribe's found me. And it's just gone crazy. So in the space of, when was the Will Smith thing? The Oscars, the end of March?
Yeah, about three.
So from the end of March to now, I've had a million views, a million. I've had just like blown up. Now, I'm just looking on it and I've got 13,000 followers, which is just like, how did that happen? But the interesting thing is that I'm putting up 30 seconds, a minute videos. I think anybody can speak for 30 seconds or a minute. Right. But I think that the YouTube was my baptism of fire. It got me familiar with the camera. It got me familiar with just ordering my thoughts. And so when I was on TikTok, I just like, bang, ready, caught up in the, you know, like that when a wave comes, so a surfer could be waiting for the wave. And then the wave comes and whoa, and that's where I am.
Wow. And, mm-hmm. and you get a big following on, not following, what's that? You get into the algorithms and a lot of people.
Yeah, because the algorithms, hey, here's a thing. As I understand it, and I am a novice, right? Because if you go and look on my TikTok thing, you can see I was even holding the camera wrong, you know? I was doing everything wrong and I had to learn. People going, did you know that you have to position the camera portrait? Okay. Did you know that you have to do? Okay. And I'm just getting slowly improving my craft. But what happens on TikTok is that they love the followers. Yeah, they like the likes. Yeah, they like the comments, but they like the time that people watch the damn thing. That's what they're collecting. So if you can imagine that I've got a million views and the algorithms are calculating that, that's what they're looking at.
And there's so many comments on this. You know, if you read some of the comments on this, and it's Bev Talks, by the way, is the TikTok.
It is.
But you read every, yeah, there's so many comments on here. People going, thank you so much. This helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I went out with a narcissist in August.
Mm.
So you mentioned the Will Smith thing. And just recently, Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage. Is this an epidemic that's going on, or is this just a coincidence?
Well, I think it's opened the gates, isn't it? So if Will Smith can do it, and I like Will Smith, and he's a role model of mine, and I'm feeling a little bit upset with the world, with myself, I may as well do it as well. Make a name for myself, you know? It's instant stardom, isn't it?
Yes. You mentioned something like that. The instant way to become famous, if you want to be famous, is just run, you know, go to Piccadilly Circus and run down the street nude. You know, that's the best way to become famous. And is that what this guy did here? Because he was a rapper, apparently. The one who attacked Dave Chappelle.
And who the guy that not tried to...
Yeah, he's got a song on Spotify called Dave Chappelle.
Well, there you go.
There's a PR stunt, but it kind of... I mean, we're talking about him now, but...
Perfect. It's perfect.
He's infamous, though, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's not got his 15 minutes, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's in the hospital now because they really... you know, the security got to him.
Okay. Did they smashed him up a bit?
Apparently so.
Oh, is he the guy that is kind of like one side of his face is mashed up and the other's fine?
Yeah. And ironically, it was his funny bone that they broke, the humerus bone, apparently.
Oh.
Apparently, honestly, really, apparently it was.
That's poetic justice, isn't it? But the other thing about it was that these comedians, I'm a fan of comedians. I like the way that comedians work, and I wish or think, and I wish I could be more humorous in my work, but actually I'm talking about serious stuff. But I really appreciate the way that Chris Rock handled the situation, right? It's kind of like turn the other cheek. And he did, and he will just go down as a legend. Because he had a split second to make. I mean, if it was me, I'd probably have jumped on Will Smith's back, and you know, and the whole of the Oscars would have been finished, done. You know, and it's interesting to me that people were sitting there in shock, and I thought, well, what do you expect? There's a room full of narcissists awarding another narcissist. What do you expect them to do? Right? They don't know how to emote. They don't know.
It was high school. It was high school, wasn't it? Basically, because he was the prom king and prom queen, basically.
Yeah.
And they're the biggest, powerful ones. He's about to win Best Actor. Nobody wants to really say anything. Didn't they try to boycott the Oscars? Will and Jada 2 years before, they said boycott the Oscars.
Well, yes, they were, because there wasn't any black people at the Oscars, or not enough for their liking. And Chris Rock said, as he hosted the Oscar, nobody invited you, actually, Jada. And that had to hurt, right? Because she was publicly humiliated. And so it was payback time, you know?
But
the other thing about Dave Chappelle, which was interesting, is because the guy was making a run for him, and Dave Chappelle just swerved out the way like Bruce Lee, you know? It was pretty cool.
It's very amazing. He's a big guy now because he's working out. He's, you know, he's not a skinny guy, Dave Chappelle, anymore.
He's not. He's a big guy.
Big guy.
You know, he's not Chris Rock.
No.
But that's just
a different situation, though, because he was Oscars, wasn't it? That was more prestige than some, I think that was Hollywood Bowl or something like that. You know, on a camera phone. You know, that wasn't a televised event. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, I'm just going on to talk about the comedians and how you make a joke and you say that was a joke, and then people say, well, that's not a joke, that's serious. And then freedom of speech, and then if you don't like what I say, you just hit me around the face. I mean, where are we going with all of this? This is fantastical to me, because this is where I begin about mental health. You know, this is my genre. This is my my street, you know. So it's fascinating to me what was going on in everybody's minds and what have you. I actually think that Will Smith had a moment. He had a meltdown.
Why would he have a meltdown on the biggest night of his life? I mean, if he just kept cool, he would have been praised as the best actor in the world. So why would he sabotage his own...
Well, I don't think you kind of sit down and say, well, today I'm going to have a meltdown. It just, you have a meltdown, right? But so the meltdown happens because of all the pressure. Now, if you look at Will Smith's behavior as he's arriving, like the king, hail the king. He's laughing and he's joking and he's taking pictures and his partner is kind of behind him. Like, I'm not going to criticize her in any way. But, you know, he is the one that everyone's come to see. Then he's sitting there waiting for his moment. And he's kind of like a giddy child. He's like, you know, he's kind of, and then he catches mama's eye. And mama said, you know, that eye that only parents can give. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. But I'm supposed to be excited, but I can't be excited. And so he kind of blew a fuse at that time. Do you remember the presenter that committed suicide a couple of years ago? What was her name? She won Strictly. She beat up her boyfriend and she was prosecuted for it. And her name is gone. I'm going to have to look up her name. She did so.
Okay. I remember a bit about that. She had a boyfriend. Right. Okay, go on.
So people were saying, you know, I can see her face. She was the one that people were saying, you know, be kind, all of that business. And we got T-shirts saying be kind.
Caroline Flack?
Sorry?
Caroline Flack?
The one, the very one, right? Now, people were saying, how come Caroline Flack could actually be depressed after winning Strictly? Because sometimes when we achieve what we want to achieve, we work so hard to get there, we find that it's hollow. You know, I'm at the top of my castle and I actually feel hollow. And I want to say this, that sometimes people will have a meltdown because something horrible's happened in their life. But sometimes your brain can blow a fuse because it's just too much. Something good's happening in your life and the brain can't take it. So you just like will do something completely ridiculous. So some people, they have a great time, you know, they succeed and they go on a bender and they sabotage the whole thing. Why would somebody do that when they've got everything to live for? Well, not inside. They haven't, you know? So I think that Will Smith, he's gone to India to find himself now.
Has he?
You know? Yeah, he's gone to India. Best place, actually, for him. It's good to go to a retreat whereby nobody gives a damn how much money you've got in the bank. Nobody gives a damn how palatial your house is or what have you. This is you and me, and you're going to have that colonic irrigation now.
Has he gone on his own?
Huh?
Has he gone on his own or has he gone with the family?
I would imagine that he, if it makes sense, right, he should go on his own. Because if he goes with an entourage, he's Will Smith, isn't he?
Yes.
Right, and then it's going to kind of blow his cover. But if he goes on his own and kind of searches for who is this guy that is the Fresh Prince or I Am Legend or I Am whoever, right? Who am I? Because he's lost his soul, right? And somebody who's kind of saying, you're going to have your colonic now. You are going to fast for 3 days. They don't give a damn how much money you've got in the bank. You're not in Hollywood now, buddy. You know, so I think that's...
they've got their own movie stars, haven't they? They don't even watch Will Smith movies.
Totally. You know, they probably, and their movie stars, Bollywood's probably got more money than Hollywood could even think about.
And what are you going to do then if Will Smith comes back and he has like a sort of Russell Brand moment where he's shoving this spirituality down our throats and changes his life? Or what would you think about that? What do you think?
Well, now, I don't want you to say anything bad about Russell Brand because he is my boy.
No, we love Russell Brand.
I love Russell Brand. And because Russell Brand, for all of his wrongdoings, and everybody likes the prodigal son, he came home, it's fine, you know, and he did go off on one. I think he got politics and then he got religion. And now he's got himself. He's found his place, you know, and he's using humor to talk about very, very serious things. The difference between Will Smith and Russell Brand, I don't know, but this is how I see it, is that Russell Brand's read a book or two. His vocabulary is off the charts. I mean, if I'm watching Russell Brand, I better have a dictionary open, you know. So he's causing people to think and then think, right? Right. So what was that word that you just said? Let me think about that word. And now let me think about the word in context of what you just said.
And it's coming at 100 miles per hour as well.
Totally. His brain is supercharged, right? And as with many creatives, going back to the comedian, and let's call them creatives, because a comedian's usually an actor, they're usually a writer, they're usually a presenter, they're usually, okay, I'm a creative, how am I going to feed myself? I'll do everything. But are usually creatives, they think differently. So I would say that where are people looking at the world like this? Oh, it's a tree, right? A creative will go, it's a tree. Why is that tree there, right? How come the birds come to that tree? What's special? I don't know. I'm just making it up as I go along. But, you know, it's just like they will sit in a supermarket and watch the checkout woman, or sorry, I should say checkout person, just kind of disappear into themselves, right? That is interesting. That's interesting to me because that takes me, whereas a comedian would say, okay, I've got about 2 minutes on that to tell a story, right? I'm looking at how does that person go into such depression where they're not even in their own body? So it's kind of that kind, I'm getting something out of it. But what I'm saying is the attention to detail. So I am really amazed. I just walked my dog around the park and there's so many people. It's a beautiful day, sun shining, weather is sweet, and people are on their mobiles. They don't even know if they're walking into dog poo or not. They just don't know. They're not on the planet, right? Someone comes up behind them and mug them. How did that happen?
People with their headphones on, phone on, looking down.
Just not on the planet. And then they're going to get to some kind of point in their life and have a meltdown.
And they'll be like, they've just wasted a lot of their life being on their phone, sleeping and just not, like, you know, lucid dreaming, not being conscious, not taking...
That's it. Wow. So, as you say, sleepwalking. It's absolutely sleepwalking. And then something happens and they're not able to cope.
So what do you think about Will Smith then? He was just on the opposite version. Maybe he's just so used to achieving in life. He might be what they call a type 3 personality on that personality test. I don't know if that's true, but he's an achiever or a performer or something. And maybe he's lived a life of constant success that maybe people say that he was at the end of it because, you know, when you get an Oscar as the best actor, it's usually, all right, now you're done, basically. You've got the highest award. Pass the torch now. That's kind of usually what it is. Because look at the people in that crew. It's Denzel, Michael Douglas, and I don't know if he's got an Oscar. But you know what I mean? It's usually the end of your career. So maybe that's what he had, a little bit of a meltdown because of that.
Well, where do you go from the Oscar then? You go and get another Oscar? I don't know.
You don't go anywhere after that, do you?
No.
That's it.
Yeah, so... and also, I think that it's really important to stay grounded. So you've got, he's got a lot of wealth, he's got a lot of fame and what have you. However, Will Smith will talk about the fact that he used to watch his father beat up on his mother. And so therefore there is trauma, undealt trauma. So if you've had a good... okay, you're going to win the Oscar, and that information goes into his system. Well, I'm going to win the Oscar. It still has to hit the trauma that he's had to live with, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like water and oil.
So it's water and oil. I mean, the best thing to do then in life... So I was trying to look up Will Smith's parents right now.
Okay.
Just to see what they look like. I never saw what they look like. The best thing to do then in life then is when you're in Chris Rock's situation is to turn the other cheek and take the slap. the first day, people said, oh, he didn't stand up for himself. He was weak. He looked very emasculated. But mm-hmm. in the long run, it seems that that is the best way to do it because he can sue him now. He looks dignified. He will be asked to come back to the Oscars again. They owe him an apology. They won't like not hire him. They owe him.
Yeah, but are they going to go back? Is he going to go back? Put the other slap.
It'll be like cage fighting, you know, like with one of those shark tanks.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he's set for life, Chris Rock. The interesting thing about Chris Rock is that he was bullied immensely as a child, you know, because he was a weasel guy. And as most people that don't find their way in school, because school is a jungle, right? So you're either going to be smart and you get through, or you're going to be the class nerd or scapegoat or funny guy, or everyone finds their thing, right? And so he was beaten up to a pulp. And so he's been in therapy to deal with that for years. I think, now here's the difference between Will Smith and Chris Rock. Will Smith, everything outside, nothing inside. 6'2" worth, you know, of nothing. And Chris Rock, 5 foot nothing, but solid inside, done the repair inside. So he was able to turn the other cheek and save the Oscars. Because can you imagine?
And carried on.
Could you imagine?
That would have been no one done. Yeah.
Sorry?
It would have been cancelled the rest of the show, basically. It would have been like,
done. Everything's done. In fact, the Oscars probably is done now anyway, but it's not Chris Rock's doing.
Right. Yes, I can imagine if he did retaliate. So he was so professional. People want to hire basically Chris Rock now based on what they've seen. They're like, he can really keep going under pressure. Whereas Will Smith looks like a hothead. He's coming with this sort of family drama and it's like, whoa, it's just a problem now. So, wow, that's really interesting to see that. And no one knows what to do, but Chris Rock's got that integrity. It was a very split second. He had his hand slightly raised. He was going to do something, but then he just put his hands back.
He put his hands back because that's a defenseless stance, isn't it? Regal, I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to touch you kind of thing.
Exposed,
Yeah, exactly. He's exposed. And he was leaning in because Will Smith's going to tell me something good. He leaned into the smack, really. Yes.
He did. I thought Will Smith was going to take the mic. What he should have done, which would have been very Will Smith, is to use his words because he's a rapper, right? So it's funny how he didn't have control over his words. And he's a somewhat comedian, right? I thought he was going to take the mic and go, now apologize to Jada now. Like, stop the show. That would have been disruptive, but still quite funny and romantic for his wife. He'd be like, hold on, apologize now. Make him do that. Still got the same effect. Like, you're still kind of putting your power over him and defending your wife, but nobody got slapped. It's not violent.
But no. Between you and me, I actually don't see the offense. He made a comment to G.I. Jane, right?
Right.
And Jada Pinkett could have got that role. They could have produced that G.I. Jane 2, 3, 4, 5. They could have made the franchise. They could have, because actually shaving the head in that movie, as I recall, was a moment of empowerment.
Yes.
Right?
She wanted to be with the male. She wanted to fit in with the army, and then they were making fun of her because of her hair. So she was like, all right, I'm just going to shave it off then now.
That's right. And she could have taken that to another level. She could have been the ambassador for all women that got alopecia, had to shave their head, going through issues or what have you. Oh, no.
She's ashamed of it.
Oh, no.
She's ashamed of it then. Because she basically says you've got to be proud of it. And she wasn't there laughing about it, going, yeah, just want to spread awareness. It's true. And then be like, yeah, I could be in that movie. But no, it was... And what Demi Moore's an attractive woman. What is Demi Moore was probably upset. She's like, what do I look like?
Exactly.
What do I look like that he came up and slapped us?
Completely messed up. You know, they missed their moment. He messed up his opportunity at the Oscars to get an accolade and go out on a high. And Jada Pinkett missed her opportunity to... BJI Jane 2 or Pfizer. They sponsored the Oscars. They are the pharmaceutical company.
Oh, right.
So they sponsored the Oscars, and they are coming out with the alopecia remedy next year. Again, she missed her opportunity to be the face of Pfizer.
She could have been the face of Pfizer. And Will Smith would have been like probably in any movie he wanted to be for the rest of his life. He's an Oscar-winning actor. Anything, TV producer, film producer, boom, done.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow.
You know, now he's living in a mutt hut in India.
Wow, isn't that weird? Just that one little moment, you can go from being... If you told him next week, all right, you're going to be the highest paid actor and you're going to win an Oscar, you'd be like, ooh, tell me more. And then the week after, you're going to be Kalkar.
And that speaks to sometimes we have to wait our turn for when things happen. So it goes back to when I was didn't know what I was doing on YouTube, and I was I haven't got fancy cameras and stuff. I've got my phone. That's what I've got. Right. So if I'm doing a sweet video and someone calls me, start again. Right. I don't know how to edit. So it's one take, Bev. Right. Right. And so hopefully I'm finding the words somehow. But you know, when you're thinking and you're ahead of yourself and the word comes out and you say, what the hell? What did I just say? Cut. Start again. Okay. Cut. Start again. But I think that I paid my dues in those 2 years or so since lockdown on YouTube, fighting for followers and trying to, what do they want? What do they want? What am I doing? Why has this person got 2 million views? What they're saying is absolute rubbish. I'm better than that. Ugh. But actually, get out of that zone. There's enough for everybody. You know, if you look at the leaves on a tree, going back to the tree, if you look at the leaves on the tree, there's enough space for every leaf and every type of tree. So getting into that, why not me? Why am I not famous? You just do your thing. And as long as you keep doing it, the door will open somehow. Somehow, some way, the door will open. Now, there are people on TikTok that got 5 million followers, right? And they're up there and fine. And I am not competing with them. I'm not what do they call it? I'm not going to a day in the life of Bev. I'm not a supermodel. I'm not going to show you my brand of, you know, the mascara that I'm wearing today and everything. So I'm finding my niche, and I'm not competing with anybody. That's it, really. So the next step, so long as you're asking.
Yes.
The next step is to grow that. What is it called? Is it a platform or a page? I don't even know. What is it when you've got a...
Oh, your following or your platform.
Is it a platform?
Your TikTok is the platform, but your account, your account or whatever it is.
Account. So I'm going to grow the account, right? And then start to... And I don't particularly want clients from that. I want to educate people globally. From that and see where that goes.
Fantastic. And that's Bev Talk. So people need to stop following this now.
They
do. You should have whole new subscribers after this, hopefully.
Thank you.
Well, it's been fun talking to you and getting some insight. And we'll have you back on the show very soon anyway. And I'm pretty sure there'll be some new drama in the news. Some celebrity is going to do something silly. Probably right now as we speak. It's happening.
Yeah. And I think just to say is that what I was doing was kind of trying to conjure up information from my head, from the universe. Whereas if I just follow what's going on now, I mean, going back to comedians, they will say, they will look at, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. And let me give you my take on it to make people laugh out of tragedy, out of trauma. And when people laugh, then it's kind of like, okay, I can deal with this now because it's actually ridiculous.
It is when you stop. It's absurd. And that's what people are saying. People are listening to the comedians more than the politicians. And they've kind of swapped places, haven't they, in a weird way?
Yeah.
You know,
and the politicians are comedians, and the comedians are becoming political.
Very strange.
How crazy is that?
Very crazy. Because, like you said, Russell Brand's more insightful. I listen to him all the time when he talks about his political view or Dave Chappelle's take on it and so forth. Maybe that's why they're being attacked somewhere. There's they're doing really great work. So there's some sort of sabotage on them, isn't it?
Well, you know you're doing something if you're getting attacked.
There you go. And what a way to leave it. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, and we'll speak to you soon.